The following is a KTCK Sports Presentation.
Kick it. It's time for the Kick Around, the ticket style show about soccer and all that implies. Two straight hours of HSOs in the Premier League, MLS, the National Team, and Champions League. Soccer never stops, and neither do our hosts. Hoping for an off-season at some point, here are Andy Swift and Peter Welton on Sports Radio, 96.7 and 1310, The Tick.
The in-swinger, De Bruyne, off the post, and did it cross the line, yes, Thomas Vermaelen. And this surely the breakthrough, Belgium with a 1-0 advantage.
Hi to Hopi ones, welcome to today's Kick Around. As always, Saturdays 2 to 4 here on the Sport Radio of 96.7 and 1310. The Ticket, where you, the good P1, sits around, talks the soccer, and all that implies. For those new here, I'm Peter. Hi, how you doing? And sitting to my left is my soccer-talking BFF, the glorious Andy Swift.
Hey, Peter, how are you?
Why did Sam pick that goal call of all goal calls?
Was it from last week?
I don't know.
I think he
You're asking the wrong
this is
person.
This is not even the last game they played. This is the second to the last game they played.
I think he just found a random one and just...
Was he testing us?
No. I just think he got... You know, there's this other thing going on in the background that we haven't told everybody about that he's dealing with. And I think he scrambled and realized he forgot a goal call. And he just pulled the most random Belgian goal call he could possibly find.
Was it even from the Euros?
Yes, it was from the Euros.
Oh, man.
Oh, good times, good times. What Sam is doing is that the Gold Cup... The actual trophy itself is in town for some reason.
And ahead of the Gold Cup being played in town in a few weeks.
There are two significant soccer things in the Dallas-Fort Worth area this week. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to get the Gold Cup, but I don't think we're going to get the other one that I was really working on and tried real hard. Because Weston McKennie.
Yeah, Dallas's own.
Like if you're driving around somewhere in the Dallas area and you happen to see Weston McKennie at the mall or in your adventure over the next 2 hours, if the good P1 could just stop what you're doing, run over to Weston and hand him your phone, you know, dial up the number and let Weston call in, we'd really appreciate it.
Pretty sure Weston right now is watching the Italy-Austria game. He's probably catching that because
he
plays at Serie A.
Yeah, maybe he's at a bar.
Could be.
And if you see Weston at a... You know, a bar
establishment
having a beer and watching the Italy
or
game.
Maybe just
maybe
having
he's
lunch.
Listening.
Maybe, maybe not.
I don't know if right now because Italy's playing. So I don't know if he'd be listening to the show. He's thinking about, you know, the show clearly, but
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
If he had thought about it, we would have figured out a way to have him call in today. My favorite player.
Hey, look, he's got a long career ahead of him, right? We are going to have opportunities to have Weston on.
Okay.
Because he is from this area.
He is.
And we're big fans.
And he's the best player on the national team.
He's our favorite national team player, right? I mean, he's mine. Is he yours?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Okay, so we're...
Duh.
Hey, how about the...
fist bump.
Yep, there you
okay,
go.
Okay, very all good. Right. So, we will not have Weston McKennie on the show today unless he just magically calls in. If a P1 stumbles across him and has him call in,
someone's
that would be great.
Right now.
Uh-oh. Is there somebody calling? Why don't you screen it and see who it is? Maybe it's Weston.
Hey, guys.
No, that's not what's... Now, I know that's a bit, DJ, but thank you.
Who's DJ?
I had no idea that Weston sounded like a worker.
I'm looking at Josh answer the phone. I'm trying to figure out if he looks like he's on the phone with Weston. And
yeah.
It does not look like
no.
that.
So we tried in vain to get Weston on the show today, but none of our deep resources or connections worked out in our favor. So, again, if you happen to see Weston, just hand him your phone, dial up the number, 888-787-1310, and we'll talk to Weston forever how long he wants to talk soccer with us on the show. Okay, so coming up on the show today,
well,
Andy will talk a little Copa America.
Mm, that's going on, yes.
That is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Andy also pushed me up against the wall and said, I want to talk about the World Cup.
I do. And it's related to Gold Cup coming. And it made me think of something related to World Cup 2026.
Okay. And I would like to talk about the Euros.
Okay.
Because now we are on the round of
16. I also want to talk about the Euros.
I know.
Don't hog it all to yourself.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
The round of 16 has begun. We have completed one game, which turned out to be the Danes demolishing the Welsh 4-0. That is not a result I was expecting.
No, not that lopsided. Now, quick question for you. Heading into the game, were you rooting for Wales or Denmark as a fan?
As a fan, I'm obviously part Welsh.
Right,
I was rooting for the Welsh.
Yeah, because the Dane story is a great story.
But the Danes, yes, here's the thing. As much as I would like the Welsh, to use a Mike Reiner term, as much as I wish the Welsh were that effing team, I have a feeling that the Danes are probably that effing team.
Yeah, you know, something interesting is happening with this Danish team, which is good. They're good. And they also had the incident with their best player having a heart attack on the field, and that's kind of created a
cardiac arrest, not a heart attack.
Yes, thank you. It's created a different dynamic and a different type of storyline attached to the team. But remember when the Euro started, and that was among the first games that we were talking about, that particular game when they lost to Finland 1-0, I told you I had actually picked them to finish first in their group.
Mm-hmm.
And because I thought Belgium was going to get off to a late start. As it turns out, by finishing second, they're in the much easier bracket now, side of the bracket. Had they finished first, they would have been with Portugal and France and Spain and Italy. This is fortuitous for them.
It is. I don't know. I mean, I have them in the bracket facing off against the Netherlands.
Next, if the Netherlands win.
Assuming the Dutch win, they'll play the Dutch next. And I don't think they get past the Dutch. I don't think. But that's also a really close. Like, that's a game that could go to penalties for me.
Yep.
And but they are very good. I think the coach, who, by the way, played at North Florida. Did you know that?
He played
at North Florida University in Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah.
He really has turned out to be a very good team, a lot more depth. They were missing two starters today. Dolberg, who scored their first two goals today, first shot in the tournament is a wicked bender from the top of the box to make it 1-0. Really, really good game, especially after the Welsh started pretty strongly. I mean, Bale had a really good opportunity a few minutes into the start with his left foot, goes wide. And then there's a beautiful sequence that ends with Dahlberg scoring, and then the Welsh just kind of melted from that point.
Yeah, I thought from then on, Denmark was the better team for sure. And you know, speaking of that coach as well, that how he's been able to handle the crisis, motivate his players. It's been an exceptional story.
It's a great story, and there has been a lot of media coverage about him in particular. The Athletic wrote, that's where I learned about the North Florida part, because and it was interesting to me because I lived in Jacksonville for a few years.
So what did they say? Like, what did
just
that
story, you know, he had gotten injured or something as a young player, and somebody was coaching or had something to do with the North Florida University deal and convinced him and somebody else to come play collegiately over there, and so they moved over to Jacksonville. And he went to school there. And
so he got a scholarship to play college soccer.
I don't know if he got
US.
A scholarship
or whatever.
And he ended up playing there. But and there were a lot of people that were really concerned about his background in terms, but now everybody's delighted by him. He's doing, you know, the interesting tactical thing that he's done is that he has moved Chelsea center back Christensen up as a holding mid. Mm-hmm. And that has really worked very, very well. And the other player that I have been fascinated by this tournament, and it's somewhat equivalent to my comment about Wijnaldum with the Dutch, you know, with Gini Wijnaldum in Liverpool, you tend to see him as a holding mid, and he's been very expansive and very attack-minded for the Dutch in this tournament. I can now say the same thing about Højbjerg and the Danes, because for Tottenham, he's almost purely a destroyer.
Yeah. Yep.
But he's actually up in the stats in terms of assist and creation.
Yep.
He actually has a whole different component to his game that I was unaware of, just based on how Mourinho had him playing at Tottenham.
The comparison to Wijnaldum is really, really good, because that's the exact same thing that's been happening with Wijnaldum. Yeah. And Wijnaldum is essentially playing the 10 with the Netherlands.
So the Danish were very good today. I think they probably... there's a lot of discussion today about the referee. There was a whole sequence for the second goal. Did you see the?
Yep.
Okay. So do you think they should have been given the second goal?
Yep.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You don't think that was a foul?
Not because it was not called a foul on the field. I don't know if there was enough to overturn it in VAR.
Yeah.
Because it then becomes subjective, right?
Yeah, I think the...
I mean, I'm going by how VAR should work.
I think the problem is the Welsh complaints kind of fall on deaf ears because so much play continued after the incident.
Mm-hmm.
The Welsh had multiple opportunities to either gain possession and just kind of end the situation,
yeah,
or do something, especially with that last weird clearance that ended up going, yeah, straight to Dolberg.
I guess VAR could have given it to the ref to go look at again, and the referee might have had a second look. I don't know.
Yeah, it's and then there was the weird VAR incident on the third or fourth goal. I can't remember.
That was the offside.
That I don't know.
Well, I mean,
but it was over at that point. It was a meaningless. Yeah. I was surprised that a goal that was generally meaningless took so long,
yeah,
to come around with a decision. Yeah. I agree. I don't think the red card was a red card.
Yeah.
But none of those decisions, in my mind, are the reason why the Welsh.
No,
lost
at the end
today.
Of the day, Denmark was the better team, and I'm happy to see them advance. And look, if the Netherlands advance, and we're going to talk about their game a little bit later. That's a good game. It's not a given. The Netherlands haven't been playing that great.
No.
Their opposition has been kind of weak.
All right. Now on the TV currently is Italy. They're at Wembley, by the way. Italy and Austria. Now, Italy has turned out to be, in some ways, the biggest surprise of the tournament because I'm pretty sure most people didn't think the Italians would be all that good this year. There are a lot of questions about how they would score, but they've scored a lot of goals. Did you know that they are now over 1,000 minutes? They were at like almost 1,100 minutes without allowing a goal, and they are now on 30 straight undefeated, which is only, I think, 5 or 6 away from a European record.
That's amazing. They are playing, and they're playing, they're fun to watch. Have you read up on their set pieces and what they're doing with set pieces? They have a set piece expert.
I don't go to the same websites you go to, apparently.
Yeah. And so if you're watching Italy, and as they advance, and I think they'll win today and continue to advance, pay close attention to their set pieces.
Sorry, Austria's.
Austria fans. Free kicks and set pieces. Corners, and look at all the movement and all the different variants that they throw at defenders and goalkeepers and keep the other team guessing when it comes to that.
Okay.
Just pay attention to that.
All right. Tactical Andy.
I just read it.
I love it. Oh, by the way, did you happen to notice I feel stupid that I keep bringing this guy up for as much as he angers me. Taylor, did you notice Taylor's weird part in the opening Danish goal?
No, I don't recall. I have another comment about the announcers, but not this.
So Ian Dark has a kind of a very beautiful, nice kind of reaction to Dolberg's opening goal. And then out of nowhere, Taylor Twellman goes into this weird screaming rant about all of the awful things that have happened to Dolberg this year, including having COVID. He's like, and he's had COVID twice. And what was the other thing? I don't know, scabies or something. And apparently it had an $85,000 watch stolen from him from a teammate.
Oh, he said all this on
the... Yes. After the guy scores his goal, Taylor just goes on this list of awful things that had happened to Dolberg. It was the weirdest. I don't know. I don't get Taylor. There's so many things I love about his game analysis, but he breaks off into this weird commentary thing that he's insisting to do, and it's just so bad and annoying.
So I find,
and I really want him to buy some socks too.
Yeah, I find that particular play-by-play team, I find it boring.
Ian and Taylor?
Yeah.
Hmm.
There was a lack of enthusiasm today, and Taylor brings it a little bit more, but I think he's brought down by Ian.
I think Ian is kind of like the Tony Romo Jim Nance relationship, where you think that you just get the sense that Jim is completely just defeated by Tony's antics.
That could be.
And maybe I think that's what's happening with Ian.
It zaps his energy a little
because,
bit.
Because, you know, Ian is very good at painting a picture and telling a story with, you know, telling a story and kind of building momentum with words. And there were several times today where Taylor just kind of interrupted him and started doing that himself. And he's nowhere near as good at it. In fact, he's terrible at
Was it John Champion today?
Oh, do I keep saying Ian Dark? I mean John Champion.
That's
who
I meant too. John Champion bores me.
I don't know. John was such a big part of my soccer video game life because he was the voice of.
I'm just not a big fan. I'm not. And Pro Ian Evolution Dark, soccer, I actually think. Like.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It was John Champion, not Ian Dark. That's very racist of me to get my Englishman mixed up like that. Yeah. But anyway, my point being is that Taylor just needs to stick to the one thing he's good at, which is kind of game analysis and leave all of the commentary and opinion stuff
to others.
To others.
Or his tweets?
No, just stay away
from it. Or his guest hosting?
Yeah. So we'll keep you posted on Italy and Austria as the game goes on. They're currently in the 28th minute and still at donuts. I had Italy winning 3-0, by the way.
That's a good pick, I think.
I had the Danes beating the Welsh 2-1. So I had the... Yeah.
That's not a bad pick either.
All right, when we come back, we will talk more European championships here on the Kick Around.
You're not a Clapton guy?
Played too much of it back on the old Q102 days.
Oh, that's right. You were a Q102 guy. Clapton all the way, man.
There were a certain subsect of, I guess at the time it wasn't considered classic rock, but are today, that I played so much
that
on Saturdays and
it?
Sundays. Yeah. Him, that, and Bob Seger's Kathmandu.
Yeah, that one crossed over.
If
that's
you ever want to see me melt in defeat, just play that opening riff
yeah.
of any Bob Seger song.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh. Oh.
See, but you don't
like
get
a snowman in a summer swelter. It just melts me.
You don't get like that over Clapton. Come on, like Lay Down Sally.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. All right, please turn that off.
Yeah, because that one also gets to
please.
Me. Yeah. And see, and Seger then started doing commercials and. It just, that's why I got.
Okay. Yeah. You've made your point, Josh.
This isn't bad. This is good.
Welcome back to the Kick Around. that was cool.
Yeah.
The actual physical Gold Cup trophy was just here. I'm very thankful that they brought that thing by. It's huge in person. I had no idea how big it was.
Yeah, apparently, I had info
about it. And
it
weighs it looks very heavy, and there is a well-conditioned and healthy-looking man wearing a pair of cotton white gloves toting it around. And it looks like it weighs like 30, 40 pounds.
Yeah, so I found this thing here. All right. 20 pounds, Peter.
It looks heavier than that. Yeah. Well, we've taken some photos. We'll tweet those out. Thank you. And we'll talk Gold Cup here in a little bit later.
Why does the Gold Cup trophy look cooler than the World Cup trophy?
I think that's a function of opinion.
Why do they call it the Gold Cup?
Because it's a cup and it's gold.
Oh.
You could literally you could literally make this paper towel roll the World Cup trophy. And it would still be like the World Cup trophy, man.
Honestly, that looks better.
We should have soccer trophy talk. A segment about all the different soccer trophies
and shields, man.
Cups.
I'm all in, yes.
Okay. I would have to look at more pictures. All I know is that the World Cup trophy, it is the World Cup trophy, and it is so boring.
You know it's not the actual original trophy. They changed it.
That.
Yes.
After Brazil won it 3 times, they got to keep it. Permanently, and then it got stolen from them.
We've totally gotten off track. That trophy threw us for a loop, and then
back to
Bob
Euros.
Seger. Anyway, so yes, the Euros. Italy and Austria are playing right now. But I did want to go back. I wanted to go into the throwback machine and go back to last week because so much happened in the round three. Well, actually, you know, the way I would say it is in terms of what actually happened. The week until itself wasn't incredibly interesting, I don't think. I mean, up until we got to the very last... Now, the England-Croatia game, that was worth watching.
Scotland, Croatia.
Scotland, I'm sorry. Yep. The England-Czech game.
Also.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The England-Czech game, to me, was the one of great interest.
Because you wanted to see what England was going to bring to the table.
Yes, and yeah. I have this running theory now after three games and them kind of puttering along in second
yeah.
gear
mm-hmm.
that they're sandbagging it.
Okay, so I want to talk to you about this because heading into the tournament and as we got started, your thought was like subconsciously they want to finish second to avoid the winning to avoid any team coming out of the group of death.
Right.
They ended up winning the group.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just tell you what winning the group does. Winning the group puts them in the easier side of the bracket.
You're right.
It gives them wait, Peter. It gives them another home game. This round of 16 game is played at home. Then they got winning that game, a little short jaunt to Rome. You win that game, you're back in London for the semis and the final. They couldn't have a better path to the final than they are in an ideal spot right now.
Yes, and I would largely agree with you, and I certainly got called out on the Twitter for making the claim by getting a second place position put them in a better position for the
worse.
Well, here's the problem. Their game against Germany is problematic for them. They have not beaten the Germans at Wembley since, I think I'm saying this correctly, 1975.
Yes, Germany is that team to them. But stop. It's that one game. Because on the other side, they might have had an easier first game, and after that, it's like Belgium and France and Italy, you know, Spain.
It's a function of pick your poison.
Yeah.
And I certainly agree with you that if they can get the monkey off their back that is Germany mm-hmm. in this game at Wembley, then the path to it
yeah.
coming home suddenly becomes more wide open.
Yes.
But I also have to say playing at Wembley is not the great home field advantage that it historically is because the fan base has largely been pessimistic. It's not a full stadium.
Yeah, I'm talking about travel.
I get it.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering that for a national team that has historically been kind of labeled as crumbling under pressure, that
yeah.
if maybe getting out of Wembley and away from England in some ways is
yeah.
actually an advantage for them.
That's an interesting thought and not an unfair thought. I can somewhat agree with that. Now, they're playing a Germany side. I mean, if you're going
to
face Germany,
maybe
this
now's
is
the time
ideal
to do
time,
it.
Right?
Yes. And I made all these predictions before I watched Germany almost bungle it.
Yeah.
Right? So, but I could also, you know, the Portuguese, that last day between the France-Portugal game and the German-Hungary game,
yeah.
trying to watch both those
yeah.
two games simultaneously was endlessly entertaining.
So to set the scene, this is Group F. It's the last group to be played.
For fun.
And it's also the group of death. And all four teams have an opportunity to advance. And the results in each game would affect who finished first, second, and third, and who then they would play. So you had other teams, like England, waiting on the results of this game. And every, like, 10 minutes, it seemed, who they were going to play against kept changing.
It
was really epic.
It was, and I think this is the moment in time where we have to take a few valuable kick-around minutes to appreciate the Hungarians.
Yeah.
Which is a team that was easily everybody's favorite to finish last.
Yeah, because of the group they were in.
And I don't think most people thought they'd get a point, much less be in a position to get themselves out of the group.
Yep.
They worked really hard. They fought. And they really, really gave the Germans a hassle.
Now, by tying that game against Hungary, Germany was going to be eliminated if Hungary would have won that game. And Hungary
yep.
was winning 2-1 till the 84th minute when Germany tied it. Had Germany not tied it, Portugal and Ronaldo would have then faced England.
Mm-hmm.
Who was England hoping they would get? Germany or Ronaldo?
Well, they don't have a great... I think it's Portugal and Germany are the two teams that have knocked England out of the last several whatever tournaments.
Yeah.
There's
really
neither one of those
yeah,
would
it was
be great.
Ideal. Yeah.
But I have a weird feeling they would have preferred the Portuguese just based on kind of the age of the
yeah.
back line. Again, I had this weird.
Mm.
I posted all my predictions for the knockout round
yeah.
this morning.
Okay.
I will continue to make my
well done.
Daily predictions.
Well done. Okay.
But I've posted my bracket.
Okay.
I still have France and Germany in the final.
You do?
I do.
Okay.
But I will share with you. I very much have this weird feeling in the back of my head that the English have been sandbagging, and we'll see some sort of new explosive performance against the Germans that set them on the course for a really fun run to the final. Now, I don't know if they'll win it, but my history tells me that they lose probably on penalties to the Germans this week. Mm. But there's a part of me that thinks, you know, it just feels like there's so much more to this team.
And there is.
The Germans are kind of in a weird state.
God, Germany, they're in disarray. Pre-tournament, my pick to the finalists were France beating England in the final. I think I'm still good with that, because I think if England can beat Germany, I think they're really in good shape to get all the way. And they'll have the confidence at that point. They'll have an easy side of the bracket.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I do wonder if the Germans revert back to some sort of normality. They put Kimmich back at a holding mid position instead of asking him to play right back. I know that's worked in fits and starts in this tournament, but they were so easily exposed by the Hungarians multiple times in that game, and also in other games in the group, that I wonder if facing England with all that attacking power, if they finally go, you know what, I wonder if maybe we should think about kind of going back to the old way and just sticking to that. Making a change like that mid-tournament also creates its own set of problems.
Yeah.
But Kimmich is such a good holding mid. He does feel like they're missing out.
This game goes to PKs, doesn't it?
What are you talking? Oh, the German-England? It could.
And if it does, that's not good for England.
No, it never is good for England.
You never want to face Germany in PKs. And speaking of Ronaldo, he's going off to face Belgium. Portugal will face Belgium now. And it's a tough game for Belgium, but I think this is a Belgium win.
You would think so, as well as they're playing. So
Lukaku is playing so well. De Bruyne, I mean, that's a lot that is going to be coming at Pepe.
The Belgian-Portugal game is one of those that just feels like you would just on paper go the Belgians should win, but based on history and just kind of the way the tournament has gone, you could see it becoming more exciting.
And you know who's playing well on the Portuguese side?
Who?
Ronaldo.
Is he playing
well?
He's
playing well. He is.
I can't.
He's scoring goals. He's setting up teammates. He's playing well. For this kind of tournament, he's playing well.
Okay.
He's the second leading scorer after own goal.
Well, yeah. How many of those are penalty kicks?
Own goal has 8 and he has 5.
And how many of those are penalty kicks?
Three? I don't know.
Two, three? Something like that? Yeah. I don't know.
All right.
All right. Well, it's been fun so far, and the Italians and Austrians are now just about at halftime. It is still at donuts, surprisingly enough. I have no idea how well the game is going because I care about you P1s. I care about a quality broadcast, and I keep my back to the game, and I'm not going to be distracted by that. So when we come back, we will finish up talking about the Euros, predicting out the brackets, and do more of that here on the Kick Around.
Nice.
Really shouldn't tell Josh things you don't want me to hear, buddy. Yeah, let's just turn it up.
Oh my God, I can't tell you how many times I had to play this stupid song.
Such a sweet song.
You know, some would call him the greatest guitarist ever. I'm not sure. You know, that's an opinion held by everyone.
So there was two bad moments with this. When the song initially came out, the album came out, it was one of the singles that we played. But when the MTV Unplugged version...
Oh, yeah.
OMG.
Because it was genius.
We just played it over and over and over.
You know, this song is about his baby.
I really blame Redbeard.
This song is about his baby. The song is about baby.
Could you say that louder, please?
Also, I don't think that's accurate.
No, I thought it was.
That's a different song.
Man, you cut Bruce off at the head for getting
a soccer thing. A soccer show. We're not a music show.
But when you had rock song,
that's it. Yes, right.
Fact incorrect. I just casually let it go.
I'm all for.
I just want you to notice that I'm the nicer human being here.
In this specific instance, I will give you this. I'm not sure I can. We're not going to go general versus specific here.
Yeah. Well, after the show, I'm pouring sugar into Josh's gas tank to pay back.
And you're the nice guy, huh?
all the Bob Seger / Eric Clapton music.
Oh, which Bob Seger. Well, that gives me some ideas.
Shut up, Sam.
You got your English announcer names wrong, Peter. So you also.
Fair enough, I did.
We all have a boo-boo.
We're just bad at radio.
We are terrible at radio.
I apologize to Ian Dark for mistaking him for John Champion.
We're a little flustered today, I think.
Well, the Gold Cup was here.
It was.
It was, and we've put up all those pictures over on the Twitter and stuff, so you should go check that out. All right, so finishing up our European Championships segments of the day, as it is halftime between Italy and Austria, and it is 0-0 at this particular moment. Andy, have you had the bravery to publish your predictions of the bracket?
I haven't published them publicly, but I have gone and picked them.
Okay.
And so I know who I picked. You know, it's pretty standard, though. I mean, I did pick Denmark. That was one of the close right. toss-up games.
Who do you and you picked the Italians, obviously.
Yes. I picked the Italians now in my new... I have my pre-tournament picks.
Sure, I did too. Yeah.
And that's France, England in the final. Mm-hmm. And I'm still okay with that. But I'm in another group doing a pick-ems as we go per round. And I have Italy now beating the... is it the French?
Really, to go to the final?
Yeah, I
really?
Do. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. So Monday is the next set of games. In the morning, it's the Dutch facing the Czechs. Now, I have the Dutch winning this game, but if there was a game in the round of 16 that I think might go to penalties, I think it's this one.
That one of all? That one, huh? Because you just think the Czechs will close shop and
yes.
counter.
I think the Czechs have... played pretty well this tournament. They haven't been too sloppy. They've been pretty creative. They've given some people some hassle, and the Netherlands are still managed by Frank de Boer, so you just
yeah,
never know
no,
what kind of
yeah,
mess
right.
you're going to get. And
because I have the Netherlands advancing and then losing to Denmark.
Do you? Okay,
I'm on
right.
the Denmark Cinderella run.
So, so that's the morning game. The afternoon game is the one everybody's excited about, which is Belgium and Portugal.
Yeah. So you have picked Belgium here, right?
I did.
Man, and I did too, but I think this game could go to PKs.
I just have a feeling, this is a game that on paper... I don't know. I do think Belgium gets by. It could go either way. It could be the super dodgy go-to-penalty thing, or Belgium could just blow it out. I don't think there's a scenario where Portugal just outright wins the game.
Like 2-1 in regular time.
I don't think so, but now that I've said that's probably what happens. Then on Monday is Croatia-Spain. This is a weird game for me because the Croats have been very hit and miss. Mm-hmm. Spain was like treading water until they played a really, really... terrible Slovakia side and won 5-0.
Yeah, Spain's controlled their games. They just haven't until that five goal outburst. They weren't able to put the ball in the back of the net.
Who do you have winning?
They missed PKs. I have Croatia winning.
Of course you do. Well, I have Spain winning this game, but again, that could be another one that goes to penalties. And then the Monday afternoon game is France Switzerland. Okay, that's the French, right? All day, all night.
Yeah. They're not running on all cylinders, right? And Switzerland is a very methodical, organized bunch.
This is when France
turns it on.
Yeah. They kind of goof off, in the group stage.
Yeah.
And then suddenly everybody kind of gels and they play really well.
And this is where we start getting into depth, too.
And depth becomes an issue.
And now this is where the big teams start to...
For sure. And then on Tuesday are the final two games, the big one, Tuesday morning at 11, England, Germany at Wembley.
So are you sticking with your pre-tournament prediction that Germany advances?
I am.
So Germany wins this game, or advances, maybe PKs.
However it happens, I'm not sure what it is. But as I said earlier, while I have officially made the prediction of Germany winning this game one way or the other, I will admit there is something in the back of my brain that says England's going to turn this into something other than that.
I have England winning this game.
Like Southgate's going to drop some sort of starting 11 bomb on the world and throw Sancho and Saka out there and Grealish. And like, he's going to throw some weird thing completely antithetical to everything else he does. And it's just going to, and it'll turn into this weird monster, English monster.
To try to outspy Germany, preparing for what they usually bring to the table.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, I know that's not going to happen. I'm just saying it out loud just in case it does, so I can claim.
I think England wins this game, but if it's close and it goes into extra time and to PKs, Germany will prevail. How's that for taking both sides of the fence?
Man, you were so Swiss. And then the last game is Sweden and Ukraine. I got the Swedes going through.
Yeah, Ukraine's just not good.
Okay, so when you get to the quarterfinals,
okay,
which would start on Friday and then Saturday. So two of the quarterfinals would be on Friday. And then the third one will have been done by the time we're on the air. I don't know which games they are.
I do.
Who do you have? All right. So since you had Belgium and Italy, who do you have winning between Belgium? Or did you have Portugal?
No, I had Belgium final.
Okay. Yeah. So you have Italy beating Belgium?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you had France and Croatia. Who do you have there?
I have France advancing.
All right. I have France and Spain. I have France going through. Okay.
Who do you have at the top then? Belgium, Portugal, you have Belgium?
Belgium, Italy, and I have Italy beating Belgium.
You also, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
In the bottom half, you had Sweden and England.
Correct.
So who do you have going out of that?
England.
All right, I have Sweden and Germany, and I have Germany going through.
Okay.
And then at the bottom, you have the Netherlands and, Denmark.
Yeah.
Denmark.
And I have the Danes advancing.
Really?
Yes,
I do. See, this was a close one for me.
Yes,
I really
I
thought about that one long and hard, because you could see the scriptwriters making them that effing team, and they just continue to punch their way through.
And the Netherlands, like this whole who they have coaching the team, finally has to rear its ugly head at some point.
Hmm, interesting, interesting. Well, I've already written it down. I've already published it. I'm sticking to it. I have the Dutch beating the Danes.
Ah, boo.
And then we can talk about semis and stuff next week.
Well, you're heartless.
Hey, by the way, they ended up putting a essentially a Kickstarter in Eriksson's chest for his heart.
On the field?
No. He had surgery.
Essentially, what's the update?
Okay. So a kind of a defibrillator kind of thing that they put. It monitors his heart rate, and if it starts to sense any sort of tachycardia or arrhythmia or whatever, it refires and gets it right.
Okay.
My question is, I think that means officially he's done.
And nobody's saying it.
Well, I have not heard anything one way or the other, and I don't know, enough to know if you can wear one of these for a period of time and then they take it out after they've deemed you healthy again.
But I don't know if that problem, the tachycardia problem, is something that just then goes away.
I don't think so.
I think you have.
Yeah, and I still, and of course they haven't revealed anything as to, if they've figured out what caused it. But it is interesting. That is a good point, and there are so many feel-good vibes about the Danish team. And by the way, I love their kits.
Mm-hmm.
I have this weird mixed feeling about the brand Hummel.
They've had Hummel forever.
Hummel has the coolest chevron logo that they put on the sleeves.
They've had that forever.
And they've had it forever. Yeah. And I always have dug that. I think that looks great. So, I don't know. It'd be cool if they continued to play.
They're
really
definitely
well.
The whale, or the Iceland, I guess, more accurate, of the last Euros, right? Denmark this year.
Well, but they have... They have
a good team.
Well, but historically, the Danes have some history to them that Iceland never had.
Yeah, right, true.
All right.
Good point.
So we're going to save the semifinal and final predictions till next week?
We reconvene at that point, yes.
All right, so my last thing I want to talk about before we break. Do you have a goal of the tournament so far for you?
Yes. It was the screamer. Now I forgot who scored it.
The Christensen one for Denmark?
The screamer, was that the upper 90 one? Man. Why? Okay, what's yours?
Well, I think most people's, it's going to be Schick's goal from midfield that kind of bent in from a really great distance. I think
I wouldn't mind that one. But no, there was an upper 90 screamer. I'm mad now that I can't remember.
I got to tell you, mine is Modric's goal.
That's it. That's the one. Thank you.
With his outside of his right foot.
Ah. Against
from
Scotland.
The top of the box against Scotland.
Yes.
I thought that goal. I mean, look, Schick's goal takes an incredible amount of skill and balls to try that, right? And there's been other good goals in the tournament, But there's nothing better than watching a tiny little dude hit a ball with the outside of his right foot.
On purpose,
knowing exactly what he's trying to do and just crushing it into the back of the net. That was a fantastic goal. Did you figure out which one you were thinking of?
No, it's an upper 90 taken from distance outside of the box.
I think you're thinking of the Christensen goal in the last round of three for the Danes.
Yeah, okay, maybe.
Because he comes up from deep and just smushes it.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. That was a good one, yeah. That was a very good one. Sam, do you have a favorite goal of the tournament so far? It doesn't look like he does. Nothing. Yeah. Never mind.
The Euros are...
Yeah, we're talking about the Euros.
Yes, the big soccer tournament in Europe.
Yeah, well, I was asking if you had a favorite goal so far.
No, not really.
What are you doing to the Gold Cup trophy?
What? Don't worry about that. It's just over here. Don't worry about it.
Andy's playing Theater of the Mind.
I know he is. Or is he?
Okay, so those games start up again tomorrow. There's two games essentially every day through Tuesday, and then the quarterfinal, they'll take Wednesday and Thursday off. The quarterfinals are on Friday and Saturday. The semifinals are on Tuesday, Wednesday, and then El Final is on the 11th, which is Sunday? Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a Sunday. Due to be played in London, just like the semis, and there's a little bit to do with that, and UEFA's thinking about moving it. I don't think that's going to happen now. That talk has died down. But did you hear about that?
No.
That they were thinking about, and they were talking to the English authorities because they wanted to limit capacity.
Ah.
And UEFA wanted to open it up.
Oh, I forgot to ask you. Because it was the Andy Swift Bowl between Croatia and Scotland.
Yeah.
You're half Croatian, half Scottish.
Yeah.
Was there any sort of in-family fighting during that game, or was it such, bitterness in Croatia's defeat of Scotland between your mom and your dad?
No bitterness. We're used to Scotland not ever doing well and just having fun at their tournaments whenever they make it. And Croatia, it's serious business, and we root hard for them.
So it wasn't uncomfortable during dinner or anything?
No, it was all good.
No hateful tweets going back and forth or anything like that?
Nothing like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
No kilt jokes?
No kilt jokes.
Okay. Did you have celebratory haggis?
I've had haggis, by the way. You know I have, right?
Gross. Of course you have.
We did a whole segment
delicious.
On it.
Delicious.
No, not delicious.
Yeah, you've never had it. You don't know.
It's the lining of the insides of somebody's guts.
Austria, it's not a person. Austria's about to have a chance here to score on Italy, by the way.
All right, quit watching the game, Andy. Do the radio show. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to leave the Euros and travel all the way down to Brazil and talk Copa America next on the Kick Around. That just melts me. So, Andy, is this a safe space? Can I tell you a quick story?
Sure. Tell me, please.
I had a dream.
Go on.
Music bed.
Last night. I had a dream, a very weird dream, about one Erling Haaland.
Oh, no.
I had a dream.
Should we save this for
Mars? Oh, no.
No. It's not like it's a sex dream.
Oh.
Weird perverts.
Are you sure you're the one. Dreaming? You don't get to say that. You started the breeding program. You don't get to say that.
That was a very good piece of soccer advice.
It was weird.
Did he start playing on your...
No, I had this weird dream that we were in a line waiting for something at North Park Mall.
You and him?
Well, there was a whole bunch of people, and he happened to like walk up and stand next to me in line.
Did he recognize you?
No, of course not. And I recognized him, and I spent the entirety of the dream internally debating in my head if I wanted to ask him for A, his autograph, or B, take a photo with him. Which is not generally something I've ever done in my life. I've never been an autograph or photo seeker.
Right.
And in my dream, I remember having this conversation.
Selfie time. Hello.
And my wife is like, hey, do you want me to? No. And we had a very nice conversation about something I don't really recall from the dream. But I woke up.
Disappointed?
No. And just was like, I had a weird dream about Erling Haaland.
So he's not even playing in the Euros.
I know.
So why is he there in the back of your brain?
I don't know. Now, there's been a lot of photographs of him on vacation lately.
Yeah, right.
In like crazy Gucci. Have you seen some of the outfits he's been wearing while he's been on vacation?
No. Dude, I've seen the tweet.
He's such a clown. He's so funny. He's wearing all these super flowery print Gucci outfits and very Italian craziness. And he's so big, right? He's just like
he's a
mountain of a human
being. Tall individual. Think about how he would slay in our league.
I don't. Why would you even spend 2 seconds thinking about how ridiculous that
because
is?
He was in your dream at North Park Mall. It's like, if you're going to bring him here, might as well have him play
have
in
him
our
come,
league.
Come to the kick around?
Sure.
Can you imagine? What's the over-under on goals he would score at your kick around? I'm putting it at 25.
Oh, 125. It would be effortless on his part.
Could
He'd
be
bored.
Joel 1 versus 21.
Like, if we got to 25, it would only be 25 because he would get bored and quit after 5 minutes of scoring 25 goals.
Like if you took everyone except him, so all 21 of the players, I'll give you two goalkeepers even, how many goals does he score?
125.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
He doesn't get just exhausted kicking y'all's ass
so
much?
No. Again, he would only stop at a low number because he got bored. Bad hypotheticals. You lose a point. Take a point away from him.
One thing, we don't do that. That's not.
Take
that
a point
show.
Away from Sam.
Speaking of him, though.
You really had a good day going for you, too, Sam. All that hard work you did on getting the Gold Cup here has been ruined with that silly hypothetical.
Oh, I'm just going to ruin it with turn music now. You just watch. I'm going to weaponize
that's
this.
Something you should bring to our Sunday kick around, the trophy.
The Gold Cup.
One thing I did think about Holland is during the Euros is like he plays for Norway, unfortunately. I mean, he's proud to play for Norway. That's his country.
Right.
But just Norway, you know, doesn't often play in these tournaments, qualify for World Cups.
That happens. Yeah. Sometimes.
So he's going to
it is
be,
what it is.
You know, all right.
Okay, so while... Meanwhile, down in Brazil,
back at the ranch,
the Copa America is going on. I've turned this on pretty. I've tried to watch some of this here and there.
Yeah.
I'm very. This is the stupidest thing to pick on, but I'm very confused by the font that Fox is using in the graphic where the score thing is.
Yeah, I think that's the tournament font.
Is that what it is?
I think so. Yeah, they're just using the tournament font.
It looks like. An 11-year-old just learned how to do cursive.
Yeah, what World Cup was it? Oh, it was the Brazil World Cup where we had that crazy font. So maybe like
maybe that's what it is. It's you know sometimes I turn this on and it's weird because we're going from European games where there's people in the stands to the Copa America that we've talked about this where there's nobody in the stands and Fox has got this weird sound effect thing going on that's not very good. Have the games by and large been entertaining? Has it been super meh?
No, it's been very meh. And the announcing crew, the strong,
exactly,
strong, and the color,
Stuart Holden
and Holden duo are good. Yeah. And they actually keep my interest in some of these games because some of the games have really not been that good. And the tournament again so far, it's all about Brazil. And who on the other side of the bracket in the other group is going to be the one that ends up having to play Brazil. And it looks like Chile. And I said the Paraguay-Chile game would be the one that decided which team was going to get to avoid Brazil in the next round.
By winning that game, they got a position to avoid.
Yeah.
And I noticed that Paraguay beat Chile.
They did, handedly.
Some of that game.
And Chile has been playing okay. Chile's playing in a humid environment. They're an old team. They just... It's a team now.
Okay, this is where I'm going to show my ignorant American ways.
Well, Chile's a cold weather country and drier weather.
It is?
Yeah, Argentina, Chile, they're in the southern part of South America, which is like the opposite of North. So
this,
the farther
that's like
south,
Boston and New York City in comparison?
Well, Chile's San Diego to Alaska inverted. So you get everything,
right?
But the other group has Peru... and Colombia, Ecuador, these are warm, humid weather countries. Mm. Brazil, Argentina, Chile, continental, Uruguay, continental climate.
I'm sorry to interrupt all of this good analysis with a really silly question.
Yeah, Peter.
I've always wondered this, and it dawned on me you're the person to ask. What is the obsession with the color combination of yellow, blue, and red in South American countries?
So, well, those three, not all. those three countries.
I'm sorry for generalizing. Yeah,
so Ecuador, Colombia, and Venezuela have very similar looking flags.
Yes.
Because it all used to be one big nation, Gran Colombia, I believe it was called, and then two others split from that. So they've
Was
all
there a great war?
So they've fought amongst themselves, and they all kind of incorporated those color in their flag.
Okay.
Yeah.
When did this happen? Back during the Avengers or something?
Yeah, 1800s.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Around there.
See? We're learning stuff here.
You learn on the Kick Around.
Did you know that, Sam?
Did you know the Chile flag was an inspiration for the Texas flag?
I did not know it.
Are you sure it's not the other way around,
yeah,
sir?
Look it up. It precedes it by like 22 years.
Hmm. That's a dodgy.
That doesn't make sense. Texas has been around for like 2,000 years.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Sorry. So anyway, it looks like Chile will get to face Brazil and be kicked out of the tournament very quickly in the next round.
Has Brazil
round.
Been that?
They've won 10 straight. By the way, did you see the Colombian in highlights? I don't know. You probably weren't watching the game, but the bicycle kick.
I saw the bicycle kick.
Wow,
that was a very good
goal.
That's
the goal of the tournament in Copa America so far. And so that happened early, and then Brazil just laid it on Colombia.
But there was a pretty good amount of controversy.
Yes,
in my best British pronunciation.
The first goal. So Brazil ended up out shooting Colombia 15-2.
But it was 1-0 Colombia.
Yeah, but it was all Brazil at that point, right? And around the 65th minute, there's a sequence where the ball hits the referee. And it kind of bounces back to a Brazilian, and he allows play to continue.
Wait. So I think it's important to state, because this is one of the new rules.
Yes.
So a Brazilian passes the ball, it hits the referee, and then goes to a Brazilian, and he does not stop play.
Yeah, it deflects off the referee, goes back to a Brazilian, he doesn't stop play.
The Colombians all stop thinking he's going
to. No, play continued.
Oh, okay.
Nobody stopped, play continued, because right away he said continue.
Right.
And a few more touches, a few more passes, and Brazil ends up scoring a goal, header off Firmino. Then the Colombians argue that, hey, it hit you. I mean, they all saw it.
But the rule is very clear.
The referee, it's up to the referee. It's his discretion, right?
Right. Well, yeah, but historically, the referee only blows the ball dead if there's a loss of possession from the team passing the ball that hits the referee.
Exactly, and that was his argument. So
they really made us think about that.
Colombia did. Yeah, I went to VAR, and they kept it.
Yeah, I don't even know if you can review that on VAR, can you?
I think VAR depends on where you're doing VAR. It's the VAR rules of that tournament or league. And Brazil ends up winning it in the 100. By the way, all that complaining, added 10 minutes.
I heard this is my favorite part, yes.
And then they score in the 100th minute to win it. And so Brazil continues to be the favorite. But one thing, speaking of VAR, one thing that I've noticed, the VAR has taken way too long to make decisions at Copa America. And have you noticed how in the Euros...
It's because they have a dedicated offside VAR official.
Yes.
Every game has two different groups of people.
Right.
Somebody doing offside, somebody doing everything else.
Makes a huge difference. Yeah. So the fields have been better in the Euros. The fields are a disaster in Brazil. I don't know if you've seen them.
Why? Is it just the weather?
Weather.
Lack
and
of
they
water?
Got the tournament at the last...
COVID?
Maybe all those things be
bull weevils.
So because they got the tournament at the last minute, so the field's been bad, the refereeing's been spotty, so it just hasn't been a good Copa America. The fans not in the stands, but I will say this: once the quarters start, and they start this Friday, Brazil I think kicks things off in the quarters against probably Chile. I think that you'll see better games because now you know you win, you go on, and you lose, you're out. And I'm hoping that we see better games.
Now, I saw a beautiful Messi free kick that was glorious
that
he scored earlier in the tournament.
That was against Chile.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
That's okay. No, it was a good kick.
Pick that scab.
Yeah. They tied 1-1.
Is there any chance? I mean, is it likely ends up being an Argentina-Brazil final?
Yes, it's quite likely.
And is there any chance that Messi wins a trophy?
Yes, here? When Brazil and Argentina play, everything's out the window.
Okay.
You know, it's like a Clásico, right?
Right.
And so, yeah, there's a chance Argentina wins this game. I think Brazil has more depth. Ultimately, I think they win because of their depth. They're more used to the hot and humid weather. Argentina, another cold climate country, is probably struggling with it a little bit more. You really see it with Chile. And one quick thing, it's really noticeable the styles of play between the southern teams in Group A and the northern teams in Group B.
Mm-hmm.
colder continental climate teams play a different style than warmer climate teams. And
is the style of possession versus more bunker high press, and counterattack?
Not so much
kind of?
Like how much you press, how high you press.
Interesting.
You know, we've seen Chile play that. But now they're older and they're playing in warmer weather. It's just not a good system for them anymore. Argentina likes to press. You know, Uruguay, they defend and counter, but they're still a pressing team. Whereas the northern South American teams give you more space. It's more about possession, slower paced. And then there's Brazil, who can do everything.
Do you think by having a dream about Erling Haaland at North Park indicates something about me that I'm not aware of?
Something
like I have a crush on him or something?
Or something bigger.
Right. That interesting.
You might go think about.
Well, thanks, that ended weird.
Thanks for listening to me and hearing me out and being my friend. I appreciate that. All right, when we come back, Andy, before the show, was insistent that we do some World Cup talk, which is weird since the World Cup is like a year and a half away.
It's connecting the dots, Peter.
All right, we'll do that next here on the Kick Around. No, don't encourage them.
That's quite normal, this one. He loves boxing.
I would think that Peter would look back on those glory years of his in radio great nostalgia.
There are many aspects of it, but anything with Bob Seger is not part of that.
Those were your golden years in radio, Peter. That was your golden generation of radio career.
It really wasn't. Unfortunately, the golden years of my career involved something called Fart Olympics. And DBF.
I don't know if we can say we can't say the full version of that, can we?
Yeah, we could. I just choose not to.
I would prefer you didn't.
Right, yeah. All right, so by the way, Italy and Austria are going on now, and this game has gotten interesting as Austria has put up a fight against an Italian team who I think everybody thought, myself included, were going to mow them over.
But then we should have thought of this, Peter. Wales came out of that group in second place, and they got spanked today. And I'm like, oh, maybe Italy not in such a good group.
So Italy's had a goal reversed. The Austrians have had a penalty kick decided that is not one because they were offside.
Yeah, he didn't call it to begin
with. It's a feisty little affair.
Are we going to see PKs?
I don't know.
Of the eight games in the round of 16, one's already been played, but of the remaining, let's say, seven
this
games.
This was not one of the ones I thought was going to PKs.
How many will go to PKs? Just a number.
Two.
Okay.
Two.
That's a good guess.
Two.
We are the predictors and guessers on this show. We're generally wrong.
So earlier today, if you haven't seen on the interwebs, the actual physical Gold Cup trophy, the CONCACAF Gold Cup.
What they hand to the captain of the champion team.
Right.
Right?
The Gold Cup is the biannual?
Now it is.
Yeah, once every 2 year tournament, summer tournament of CONCACAF.
Yeah.
It's like our version of the European Championships.
That's right, yeah.
It's very similar. And the trophy was actually here because the Gold Cup's getting ready to kick off here in the United States. Several of the games are being played at multiple locations around Dallas, the Cotton Bowl, Toyota Stadium, and the Death Star.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about. What you just said there. Say that again. Like, think about what you just said.
That we're having international soccer here?
In several stadiums.
Yeah, that is weird.
And remember, for a long time, we would always kid on the show about how Texas could host a World Cup.
Hell, Dallas-Fort Worth could host a World Cup.
And then when the Gold Cup venues were announced, like six of them are in Texas, and we're like, see, we were right.
Mm-hmm.
We could actually host a World Cup. Texas could. But then I started to think, man, three stadiums in the Metroplex alone are hosting Gold Cup games.
It is pretty amazing.
And so I'm like, thinking about 94 and 2026, which is when the World Cup will come back to the U.S.
Oh, 1994.
Right.
Right.
This is the last time it was in the U.S., and Dallas was a venue. And how much things have changed. And back then, in 94, the games here in Dallas were played at the Cotton Bowl, and we hosted all the way up to a quarterfinal. The Brazil-Holland quarterfinal was best game of the tournament was played here in Dallas, and it was the broadcast center. And so Dallas was a pretty important venue. But now fast forward to now and where we'll be in 2026. And like not only how much Dallas has developed as a soccer destination, but what we have here now, we have three stadiums that could host a World Cup game, and one of them could actually host a final.
Mm-hmm.
Training venues that we didn't have back then, like teams that came through here, like Nigeria and Argentina and Spain. These are the countries that came through Dallas, had to train at random locations like Green Hill School, where Alon Suter
fell in a hole.
Like World Cup teams were training there. Now we have great training facilities, world-class stadiums, the infrastructure, the entertainment infrastructure in the city, like Clyde Warren Park exists now to host, I can't think of what a massive, great hub this would be for World Cup.
It would be an incredible one, and I think what I'm fascinated, what really bothers me is why the decision was made for 2026 to be split up amongst three countries, because when the World Cup in 2026 is played, while the bulk of the games will be played in the United States, there will be some played in Mexico and some played in Canada. But I'm not quite sure why they felt the need to do that.
That was politics and dealing with FIFA and CONCACAF. It was a political maneuver to secure the 2026 World Cup.
But wouldn't the World Cup be in the World Cup better when the games are encased in a smaller space so that access from game to game is so much easier?
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of the World Cups played in Europe.
Yeah.
You can hop from venue
to venue. South
Africa
is a pretty sizable country, but having it all in South Africa, Russia is a weird example because Russia is such a big space, but when it was in Germany,
Germany
is a great example.
Yeah, exactly. So the 94 World Cup to this day remains the most financially successful World Cup in history, played in the U.S.
God.
But the one issue that World Cup had was the travel. Venues.
And the heat was pretty bad.
Yeah, the heat, but you get heat in Mexico. Spain was a hot World Cup too. You know, so there are other World Cups that have been pretty hot, and it depends, venue to venue, yes. Some venues in the U.S. were hot. But, with modern travel, I think that's not as much of an issue now with low cost airlines now operating.
No, it will be. I guess what I'm fascinated to find out is that when they finally announce which venues or which cities will be part of the World Cup, I know Dallas will be in there somehow.
But it's going to be an important one. It has to be.
Well, what I'm so excited about, Gold Cup specifically, is that Mexico-El Salvador game that is slated to happen during the Gold Cup at the Cotton Bowl. That is going to be an insane scene. That is a 95,000 seat facility that I bet has 95,000 fans in it for that game.
Yeah, there's a sizable Salvadorian population here in the Mexico.
Well, and obviously a sizable Mexican population.
Yeah, that goes without saying.
And that's a game of value and meaningfulness to win a trophy.
Yeah.
And it was genius to put that game at the Cotton Bowl, even more so than at the Death Star or any place else.
Yeah, and the Death Star is going to get other games, and deep into the tournament too, they're going
to
get games.
I am legit excited to go to that game at the Cotton Bowl. That will be the best scenes possible. Yeah. But the reason why I say that is that when the World Cup is decided, I sincerely hope that they don't cut the Cotton Bowl out as a venue.
Well, the Cotton Bowl, even if it's not a game venue, will be a training facility.
It needs
for
to be
some.
A game venue.
Yeah, but
such an awesome place to see.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
The sport.
Hey, not going to get an argument from me, because the Cotton Bowl obviously holds a dear place in my heart. We have a plethora of great facilities in this area, and just rewind yourself to '94. Where we are now?
It's
three world class soccer stadiums, or stadiums that can host World Cup level games.
Sure,
incredible.
It is. And if you really wanted to get crazy about it, because to be fair, the Death Star has to be modified to host a World Cup, any kind of World Cup game. They'll have to take the ground suites out or they'll have to cover them or something to get a proper width field. But if you're going to do that at the Death Star, Andy, I could make an argument that you could do that at other locations in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and add additional venues.
Sure.
TCU Stadium, right. SMU Stadium could also be.
What you are saying is we can have a World Cup just in DFW.
Oh, we've talked about this. Yes.
Well, Texas for sure.
Well, yes, but how many venues do you typically have in a World Cup?
Well, now that they're expanding the field, you need much more. But let's say it's the old-fashioned 24 or 32,
mm-hmm.
you probably need 8.
Right. So, Death Star, Toyota Stadium, Cotton Bowl, mm-hmm. SMU,
TCU
is 5.
Yeah. That stadium in McKinney, the high school stadium in McKinney that just got built, how many people does that have?
I think that's like 16 or 17.
The ballpark, the old ballpark is now being used as a soccer stadium.
Yeah, the old ballpark you could probably even consider. Yeah. I think I'm forgetting another obvious one for some reason off the top of my head.
Is it the Frisco or Allen
Well, those are like less than 20, okay. and I think the number has got to be 35 or north, I think.
Yeah,
for
well,
World
Toyota
Cup
Stadium's less than 20, but we'll throw it in there because it's so
well, they
nice.
Make, yeah. yeah, so, wow. All right, well. It is quite the vision that you have, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to the people who brought by the Gold Cup. That was kind of cool to see that thing in person.
Did we hold it? Well, we weren't
no, they weren't let
hold
us hold
it.
No, remember the guy had cotton gloves on.
Yeah,
I got to stick my head in it.
You did.
That was cool.
You looked very odd doing it.
Yeah, more odd than usual.
Thanks for holding the sign up behind us, Sam. We appreciate that.
I know my role.
All right. When we come back, it is America's favorite soccer segment. It's called The Dribble, and it's next on the... Sending a stern letter to the UIL about the two of you in there and your Bob Seger.
It's really me. Technically, Josh is the one that inspired me, but I took the ball here. He came up with the
No,
play
Josh is super guilty because you were not in the studio when I mentioned this whole thing and he started it.
Correct, yes.
With
he
Kathmandu.
Informed me as soon as I came back in, because he's a good board op. He's a very loyal board op. He knows where his bread is buttered.
I just asked Peter if he liked Clap.
Clapton, no. And I said no, and that
We've
also applied
one
to...
Clapton song, too.
Stop.
Peter, right. I've found out I don't know anything about... We knew this already, but I know very little.
Yeah, Austria and Italy,
soccer.
A game that Andy has Italy going to the final, and I thought Italy would win 3-0, has now gone to extra time, as neither team has scored. And I was also wrong, because I'm not watching the game. Mm. When it said somebody had scored and it had been taken offside, I just... You know, admittedly assumed it was the Italians. Turns out, no, it was an Altovich, scored apparently a very nice goal for Austria, and it had it marked as offside. So now it goes to extra time. And it would be so weird if Italy, after this fantastic group stage performances.
Not only that, they've just set their own record for longest streak without conceding a goal. It's 11:44 to set the record. Now it's counting, so they're probably at 11:50 now.
If they win this game today, they will now be tied with Argentina for the third longest undefeated streak
of a national team.
Of a national team,
wow.
Yes. The most is Brazil at 35.
Well, if they lose in PKs, it counts as a tie.
It's still undefeated.
So it's still undefeated, and
the
streak continues.
Oh, that's right. I didn't think about it that way. Because if it goes to PKs, it's always a tie, whether you win or lose,
right.
at
you
least in the record books.
Through penalty kicks.
Fascinating. So if you're not watching, you can just leave the sound down, keep listening to the ticket.
Of course.
And the good old kick around. We've got another segment we're doing here, but you can watch extra time and maybe PKs.
All kinds of juicy nuggets coming your way.
It is now time for America's favorite soccer segment. It is called The Dribble. What have you done?
What's going on here, man?
I changed the pitch of the music.
It's now the space dribble.
You're very bored, aren't you?
It'll change back in a minute.
That's fine. No worries. It's very funny. Congratulations, Josh. You're a laugh riot. Okay, so...
I don't think you meant that.
For anybody listening going, hey, wait, where's our FC Dallas segment? We made the collective decision to skip that today. Because if you did not know, in the good words of one Mike Reiner, this team sucks!
Hold on, Peter. I'm going to pull up the standing.
They're in last place.
Oh.
Since we last talked to you, they've played 2 games.
This team sucks.
Thank you, Mike. And they tied against a Minnesota team at home last Saturday. They lost in L.A. on Wednesday. Tomorrow night, they're back at home, and they have to play the first-place New England Revolution. Very bad.
New England is in first place.
Yes.
Coached by Bruce Arena. Like, what is it? What? What is it? Like, what the, is it things he says in the locker room? Is
no,
it
he knows
is
what
it
he's
how
doing.
He puts the cones out at practice?
He understands the league. He knows how to put a roster together.
It's amazing, right?
Well, you know, Andy, I've said this before, but when you hand the reins of a Major League Soccer team over to the family spare, who then hires a coach that has zero professional experience, and then a technical director whose first words to the public is, I don't really know anything about this league or its players, it was never a recipe for success.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about New England.
I'm trying to juxtapose the difference between the two.
Okay, compare and contrast?
Yes.
Yeah. Just amazing. Amazing, you know. Bruce Arena. So
now, of course, it's Major League Soccer, and Dallas probably will beat them 15-0 tomorrow. You never know.
It's early still. Come on. Not even a quarter of the way.
Okay, couple things that I wanted to talk about here in the dribble today. First off, did you see the amazing schedule announcement social media campaign by Augsburg, the Bundesliga team?
Yes, the Looney Tunes.
It starts with the Looney Tunes, and then it's a bunch of cut edits of movie and TV clips related to each of the teams through the first like quarter of the season. It is fantastic. It's hilarious. If you have not seen it, Augsburg may become your favorite Bundesliga team because it's one of the best schedule announcements on social media I have ever
seen. I think they're replacing Union Berlin, right, as our team now because of this campaign.
They might, yes. Okay, back to the Premier League. What are you thinking about all of this jibber-jabber going on about Man City offering up $100 million each for Harry Kane and Jack Grealish? Are you buying that at all, any way, shape, or form?
Am I buying that specifically they've offered at the same time to get them both at once?
Yes. Do you think there's any truth to that? That can't be true.
No, but there's truth that they're probably interested in one or the other. Hmm. They're going to get Grealish. That's who I think they're going to get, actually.
All right. And then, who's going to end up being the manager at Crystal Palace, Everton,
correct,
and Tottenham?
Right. And there's been a few guys that have interviewed at all of them.
Yes.
So... why don't we call in our Everton correspondent?
Hello.
Sam, what's going on with your club?
Well, I'm not sure the club knows because it was supposed to be Rafa Benitez like a week ago.
That's what I was thinking.
And then the fans got some of the fans got really mad that they were going to appoint a former Liverpool manager.
That is not something you do.
So Mashiri, the chairman's like, well, I still really want him, but I'm going to make the fans really unhappy. So his appointment's been on hold. Nobody really knows what's about to happen.
Interesting.
There's rumors that Graham Potter is interviewed. There's rumors that a couple of other guys have interviewed.
It's a little bit of a dumpster fire
just,
right now.
Nobody
over there.
Really
but
knows.
But so is Spurs. Palace, Trey. Not so much. Palace was close to...
Well, they were close to Nuno.
To Nuno.
And then that fell apart.
Yeah,
and they've some other people. Yeah. The Spurs one I find interesting. Did you see the comment from the somebody? I think it was like a leaked text or somebody said that he said that Gattuso, the Italian coach that was in line to take the gig and then fell apart late in the game, that he apparently was telling people that, quote, Spurs is a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
And it is difficult for them because their star player, Harry Kane, is saying, I want out. Daniel Levy, the chairman, is like, I don't want to sell
so fast,
you.
Right.
And even if he does want to sell him, it's for some insane amount of money.
Yeah. Nuno's interviewing there now, right?
That's the lead candidate.
That's the latest now.
Yes. And you know what I found somewhat insulting is there was a headline that said it's gotten so bad that Spurs may have to settle for Nuno, which I thought was... I think he's actually a really good coach,
yeah,
and he would be...
I agree, but he wasn't the first, second, third, or eighth choice. That's
no.
the problem.
Yeah.
And so, also, when a club, when it's so public like this, and Everton's going to have the same issue, whoever they end up with, those two clubs, the person hired will know that they were, like, the 10th choice.
Yeah.
That can't be a good spot either, right, if you're the coach?
No, not at all. And all the the rumor mill is very hot that the Jadon Sancho deal to Manchester United is about done.
Yeah.
The other one is Varane, the French center back, may end
two?
Up coming to Manchester United
as
well.
Yeah.
That's the other, which is
a
much needed position.
Well, good for you guys.
So we'll get back into transfer window talk and everything when we get a little closer. But those are the
Where's Holland
things.
going to end up?
Holland?
Oh,
Erling Haaland.
Yeah, Erling. Your friend, your dream buddy.
My dream boat.
Your crush.
I think he stays at Dortmund, yeah. Frankly. I don't think he goes anywhere.
There hasn't been a lot of smoke about him leaving, actually,
no.
So far.
This week, the women's national team Olympics roster was announced. And I guess ultimately, if you were being honest and realistic about it, it should not have been a surprise that the coach named ostensibly all the hits, the star players, and it's an old roster.
It is, and he's gotten criticism about that. And so I don't know what your take is on it. Like, a lot of people feel it should have been a younger roster and you need to start developing players, right, for development. But you go to the Olympics to win the gold.
Well, and have you looked at the lineup of the teams that are in the Olympics?
Yeah.
It's a pretty weak field.
Yes.
Like, I don't...
Especially the group play.
Like, I don't think the French or the Germans made it, or some significant set of European teams didn't make it. It's not a very strong field. Look, whether we like it or not, there is a marketing... Oh, the Italians scored. Thank you, Josh. The official goal-scoring sound effect of the Italian national
What if
team.
Austria would have scored? Is there like Wiener Schnitzel music?
I don't have any Australian sound effects.
No, not Australian. Austrian.
It's different. Now I've lost my... Oh.
Opera.
Look, whether we like it or not, there is a marketing component to the women's team, and there's no way you don't add Rapinoe and Carly Lloyd and some of the older skins on the wall.
Especially the Olympics.
For the Olympics, which is probably their last run, right? And so they are so much better than everybody else that they should win this tournament with this particular. Would I have preferred to see some of Peirce and... Katarina
but
on the team, yes.
Because of development more than
just for something different and to get that next generation kind of humming along and with the experience. Adding Tobin Heath, who's coming off an ankle injury, is kind of a weird question.
Yeah,
but they've got a standby list, so some of these younger players may still make it. The other thing that I want to talk about is that currently on HBO Max and now in theaters too, I think. Is this new, quote-unquote, I'm using air quotes here, documentary called LFG, which is about the women's team and the pay-for-play or the equal pay situation.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to tell you straight off the bat, it's not a fair and biased, an unbiased look at the argument. It is a propaganda tool.
On the women's side.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's a lot of stuff in there.
Is this U.S. Soccer came out with a reaction? It was to this.
Well, that was I thought that So somebody in the U.S. soccer camp on their comms account went on this giant thread, kind of pointing and poking holes in all of in some of the points that the movie tries to make or the documentary tries to make. There are a few very particular things that I think that the documentary just very clearly doesn't tell the entire story about. Because at the end of the day, what all of this arguing back and forth is ultimately about is the women's side of the lawsuit wanting the U.S. Federation to make up the difference of all the money they were never paid in the gap between how men and women are paid in World Cup. And it totals like $77 million that they want. They want the U.S. Federation to pay it, which they're not responsible for. That's a FIFA thing.
Yep.
But they want U.S. soccer to make up that gap. And even the current president, a female, Cohn, has said, look, you would bankrupt the federation if we have to pay you this money.
Yeah. And, you know, we're not going to start getting into the arguments, but there was a contract in place, and I think moving forward is one thing, and how the structure they have in place moving forward, that can be fixed and that can be made better, but it's hard to backtrack.
It is.
And fix, you know, something that was a contract.
Yeah. So if you watch LFG, and I'm not saying you shouldn't, you should just know that it was produced and paid for by one particular side of the coin and not both. And it's not necessarily an equal look.
When are we getting close to the season two of
Ted Lasso?
Yeah, Lasso.
Ted Lasso kicks off on July the 28th.
Okay, so we're going to be reviewing that, right?
Oh, yes, of course. In fact, what's funny is that the other day I got an email from Apple telling me that I was going to have to start paying for Apple TV Plus because I, like many, many people, got it for free
and
when I bought
it.
And they extended it not once, but twice.
Right, I know.
And I thought, well, do I really need Apple TV Plus? And then I went, oh, wait, Ted Lasso.
And then you canceled.
No, I didn't. Well, maybe then after that. Yeah. I don't know.
And you saw who made the women's team announcement, didn't you?
Ted Lasso.
And Coach Beard.
And Coach Beard. They did. That was smart marketing on their part. Okay.
Are you out of soccer stuff?
Huh?
Are you out of soccer stuff?
For the dribble?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, why?
I just want to ask you a non-soccer, but
yeah, go ahead.
Documentary related. Are you going to go see Roadrunner?
Which one is this?
Anthony Bourdain.
Oh, I've seen that.
You have?
I've seen the trailer.
Oh, the trailer. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not a Bourdain fan. Okay, never mind.
I'm not an Anthony. I'm not an Ant. You know, maybe he's a little overhyped. Maybe
you don't
a little bit.
Dan McDowell,
you don't
thinks he's very overrated.
He's my.
I know he's your hero.
But that's all right. Whatever.
He supplanted Zico.
Zico's my sporting.
All right, that'll do it for the dribble here.
Did you notice how as soon as anything food related, cooking related, Peter's just like. Done.
I mean, we knew. You know this, though. You keep
it's just disappointing. I keep bringing it up, hoping like this angle maybe or that angle. Something is going to spur a little bit.
Thinking it won't hurt when it hits you in the face, and then you step on the rake and it hits you in the face.
I just wish you loved me and this show as much as you loved Anthony Bourdain and food.
If you would talk more food, maybe you know I would develop a little bit of a liking for you, but you know.
Very hurtful.
Well, this is awkward.
He's processing. Right now, he's like, is it worth talking more food so
Look,
Andy likes
the tournaments
me a little
will
bit.
Be over soon, and we can do eat around.
All right.
Or
hey,
cook
guys,
around.
You hear that?
Yes, we can totally do that if you want.
Josh,
to.
Are you in?
For sure.
All right.
Talk about the Frankenfurter cut or whatever you and Brian. Flanken cut. Whatever you guys were talking about.
It just sounds dirty.
It does. All right, we are back next week. We'll follow up on what's going to happen in the semifinals and finals of the Europa Cup and European Championships and all that stuff. DJ? Oh, he's not here anymore. He's run out. Thanks for doing Tickers. You did a fine job today. Sam, thanks for all your producing. Josh, thank you. No. Actually, don't thank you, Josh. All that stupid Bob Seger you played. I hate you. P1s, we love and adore you. Get stuck in when you're 50s.
Broadcasting live from the TXU Energy Mothership at Victory Plaza, hard by the AAC. This is Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket. KTCK AM Dallas-Fort Worth, KTCK FM Flower Mound.